evil men and imposters will grow, there's that word, worse and worse. That's that corruption. And they will be deceiving and being deceived. Why? Because of verse 22, the lust of deceit.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day to you, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill's study in Ephesians continues with a wonderful study entitled, The Spirit of Your Mind. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Turning your Bibles to Ephesians. We're finally back. We're going to be in chapter 4. I'll begin reading in a few moments from maybe verse 17. That will not be our text. Our text will begin down to about verses 22 and following. But this morning, we've had many breaks during a teaching of Ephesians. Now, that can be a very bad thing or a dangerous thing because you can lose momentum whenever you teach from a book and then you have to go teach something else and so forth. But I don't believe that's the case. We're going to pick right back up this wonderful, incredible epistle that's been called the greatest piece of writing in the history of the world, and I do agree with that. Written from a prison cell in Rome. And so remember that the main thrust of our teaching and learning has been from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, that we walk worthy of the calling from which we have been called. And to walk worthy of our calling, the word worthy, remember, is a picture in the Greek language of a set of scales. In other words, 5 pounds over here, 5 pounds over here, to be equal. So to walk worthy, we have to be equal in doctrine, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and equal in application or practice, chapters 4, 5, and 6. If we don't do that, then we're only hearing God's word and then not doing God's word, and we are deceiving our own selves. So beginning, well, I'll read verse 17 in a minute, but remember that we left off last time, and we were told that we have not learned a person a certain way or been taught a certain way, but we have literally learned Christ, like you would learn a language. And so that is the ongoing process of sanctification, the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer, where He takes us from glory to glory to glory into the same image of Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we found out also the last time that to learn a person, we have to go to Jesus and accept His invitation. His invitation is Matthew 11, 28, 29, where Jesus tells us to do something. If we're going to learn Him, He says, I want you a command, take my yoke. In other words, yoke yourself up with our Lord. And then He says this, learn from me. Let me teach you. See, Jesus lives in us, amen? The Holy Spirit is in us. He's alongside of us. He is the Spirit of truth. He's our guide into all that we're doing. We walk in the Spirit. We're led in the Spirit. So if we're going to take the yoke of Christ and learn from Jesus, the church has to take His lowly heart. There is absolutely no other way. Now, I'm going to talk to you something that is, you may have not heard exactly what I'm about to say this morning. I've already prayed thoroughly that I don't stain or soil what the Lord is asking me through His word to teach this morning. I pray that your ears are open, he who hath ears to hear, that you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to His church in this time that we're living in from the book or epistle of Ephesians. Now, you know, have you ever thought about the brain and then the mind? And a lot of people just say it's one thing, but it's not. Let me read to you. It says, brain and mind are not the same. Your brain is part of the visible, tangible world of the body. Your mind is part of the invisible, transcendent world of thought, feeling, emotion, attitude, belief, imagination. The brain is the physical organ most associated with mind and consciousness, but the mind is not confined to the brain. The intelligence of your mind permeates every cell of your body, not just brain cells. Now, that's from a surgeon and Dr. William Salt. Now, the reason I quoted all that is because this morning we're going to learn in depth how and why we should renew the spirit of your mind. But we're not there yet. But we're going to talk a lot about the mind and the way that we think and so forth. But let's begin, and let me just read in verse 17 till we get to our text this morning, which starts out this way. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." In other words, we don't walk like the lost. When the word Gentiles is used, it's talking about those that are outside of Christ, those that are not born again, those that are in Adam, the old man, if you will. He says, and here's how they walk, in the emptiness, the futility of their what? Their mind, very important. Having their understanding, meaning the understanding in their mind, what? Darkened. And the reason? They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling. In other words, boy, they're numb, desensitized, that old man that's in them. That's what we used to be, by the way. Having given themselves over, they gave themselves over, their whole bodies and minds, to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now, last time we were together in Ephesians, but you've not learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him, been taught by him, as the truth that is in Jesus, now verse 22. Verse 22 connects us back to 20 and 21. Now, so here it is. It says, now that you know all that, you've been taught by Christ, you understand that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Let me read the J.B. Phillips translation. He says, now that you've learned Christ, and so what you have learned was now is to fling off the dirty clothes of the old way of living, which were rotted through and through with lust illusions. So when it tells us to put off our former conduct, it's talking about the old man, the one that was dead in trespasses and sins. He's saying, put off your old conduct. In other words, the lifestyle that you used to live before you were born from above. Remember that the old man is a slave. Boy, that's so important. The slave in me. Remember that sermon I preached a long time ago in, I think, Galatians? The slave in me. Listen, our old, dethroned, fallen nature who desires to rule in your heart. Well, he wants to kick Jesus off the throne. He wants you to live the way you used to live. And you know, he is now an exiled ruler. And we war against him. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 teaches us. It says that the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh because they are contrary one to another. They'll never be in agreement. Absolutely never. One is fallen, one is made new. One is in Adam, one is in Christ. Now, with all that being said, we're commanded to put him off. Why? The old man is not only dead, the old man loves to be a slave. And the reason is he doesn't know he loves it, but that's all he has ever known. The old man, he didn't know what it was to be free, to be born from above. He was dead in trespasses and sins. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. Amen? When Jesus rose from the dead, we rose with him. We're seated with Christ now in heavenly places, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, 6. So with all that being said, when Jesus ascended, we ascended as well. Now listen, we know from Romans 6, 6 that our old man, the one who loves sin but wouldn't say he did, was crucified with Christ. Again, when Jesus died, we died as well. Now listen, all, Christian, all that you were in Adam, unprofitable, empty, useless, ungodly, an enemy of God, was crucified. And so that old man is dead. You don't have to crucify him. Whenever you hear a teaching that says you have to kill that old man and all, you can't in your own power do anything. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen? So we're not trying to crucify the old man. He is already crucified. We're not trying to live the crucified life. We've already been crucified with Christ. What did Paul the Apostle tell us in Galatians 2:20? He says this, I have been, past tense, crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And now the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Amen? Now listen, all we're to do to put off is to believe that truth. Just believe it. It's a fact. It's not fiction. It really, really happened. But never forget that the old man, he's dead, but he wants to live. He wants to rule, if you will. So the old man, we're to put him off. Remember that the old man is a result of being in Adam. That's so important. Remember when Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God commanded them not to eat of. Now, generation after generation from the fall in the garden, they have suffered the horrible consequences because of Adam's sin. Sin came into the world by one man, Adam. And from sin, it says, came death. All men die. You want to know why people die? It's not because of sins. If you read Romans 5:12, it says, by one man's singular sin. See, he's the federal head of the human race. The reason that we were born with a sin nature and the reason that we die is because of Adam. That's what happened in the fall. Now listen, but we are no longer in Adam. Amen? Yeah, that means that when God sees us, he sees us in perfect harmony with him. He sees us totally in Christ because we have been justified by faith through grace. And the reason is this, is that God will never see us again in Adam. We are eternally in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Boy, that is so good to know. Therefore, it says, put off, or literally, become who and what you are in Christ Jesus our Lord, your children of God. So that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. Now watch this. What does the old man do? Those that are in Adam, those that are lost, those that are dead in trespasses and sins, that don't know the Lord. It says that the old man, what? Grows corrupt, and he does so according to deceitful lust. Listen, that scripture is so important. The word to grow corrupt, it doesn't mean now you're corrupted. It is a continuous, ongoing corruption that happens. If the old man stays an old man, meaning if he's not born again, he grows corrupt and more corrupt and more corrupt, and he could be a good man. He can love his family, all those things. But he is going to decay. He is going to die. He's not going to ever get any better. An old man only can grow in corruption. Does that make sense? Listen, like the example I always used, if I have a beautiful apple, okay, and man, I take a bite out of that apple, the meat inside of the fruit is beautiful and white and juicy. Amen? And if I set that apple right there and continued preaching, by the time I finished in 5 hours, What would that apple look like?
Brown.
It would be brown. Why? Because corruption is set in. Corruption means to go from a perfect state to a worse state, ongoing forever and ever and ever. It is never ending. That's what it means to be in Adam or in the old man. They grow corrupt, but they don't know that they're growing corrupt. Listen, deceitful lust or lust of deceit. How did Eve fall in the garden? Remember what she told the Lord? Said, why did you eat that fruit? And she told the Lord, she said, oh, Lord, listen. I said, you know, the serpent deceived me. He deceived me. See, that's that deceitful lust. He deceived me and I ate it. Why did Eve eat that fruit? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, remember? She said, oh, it looked like it was good for food, one to make one wise. Do you see what I'm getting at? Yeah, listen, she was deceived and she ate. Man, and when you partake or when she partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everything changed. Corruption set in instantly. In other words, The moment Adam and Eve sinned, something happened to them. Instantly, if you study out Genesis 3, instantly they changed. Their eyes were open, and something else happened. And they knew, speaking of the mind, they knew in mentally, they knew up here that they were naked, and that had never happened before. All the time they were in the garden, everything was perfect. You know, there was only one command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that tree wasn't bad. The Bible says that all that God made was good. All the trees, everything was good. There was one thing that God says you can't touch. The day that you eat of that tree, don't eat it. If you do, you're going to die. And you know what happened? The devil, he came and deceived him and so forth. So when they did that, Adam and Eve, they went from a perfect condition to a corrupt condition. And it was ongoing. They did not die physically. They died spiritually. Very important. The Bible says, do not be deceived in Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, you know, shall reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That corruption is working in our world right now. The people that do not know Christ, they are growing more corrupt and corrupt. And I'm not talking about wicked and evil, but that can happen. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men, the reason they're called evil is because their master is a wicked one, okay? Evil men and imposters will grow, there's that word, worse and worse. That's that corruption. And they will be deceiving and being deceived. Why? Because of verse 22, the lust of deceit. Now, putting off the old man, that old corrupt nature, the one who wants to rule our hearts, he's dead, but he's actually still there with us, okay? You know, our flesh has not been redeemed, only our spirit. Now, we're to put off. So that is something that we do. It's not something that is done for us, and God gives us the power to put to death the deeds of the flesh. In Romans chapter 8, verse 12, it says this, therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, meaning the old man, to live according to the old man or according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the power of another, you put to death the deeds of the flesh or the deeds of the old man, you will live. Now, we owe our old man nothing. I am not in debt to anything of my old man and neither are you. Amen? But the thing is, I don't, within myself, my own human strength, my human mind or whatnot, I don't have the ability to put him to death. I can only do it by the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God, letting him work in me, letting him call the shots, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Does that make sense? Amen. That is the only way that we can do that. Now, verse 23, incredible scripture. And I know you've read it a million times, but I think you might see it at the end of this sermon maybe a little differently. Now, watch this. We're to put off the old man, put on the new man, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Spirit of your mind. But that's not what that scripture says. See, when you read it, you think, okay, I'm going to be renewed in my mind. That's not what this says at all. It says be renewed in the spirit of your mind, not the mind itself, but the spirit of the mind. Now, the word renew there is not just a one-time act. It's an ongoing process through your entire life, that ongoing renewal of where you're renewing yourself to God's Word. And the word spirit there is not the Holy Spirit. It means the human individual, human spirit. So listen carefully. The renewal takes place not in the mind. Remember, the brain is one thing and the mind is another. It doesn't take place in the mind. It takes place in the spirit of the mind. The spirit of the mind. Listen carefully now. Matter of fact, I put this together at 4 a.m. So let me read so I don't mess up. The spirit of the mind, I said, is the part which controls and governs everything that was blinded by Satan at the fall. Let me read that again. The spirit of the mind that we have now, the spirit of the mind is the part which controls, governs everything that was blinded by Satan at the fall. In other words, at the fall, here's what happened. We're in Adam, you know, Adam and Eve. Listen to me. We lost our minds at the fall, if that makes sense. Our thinking, everything was corrupted. Everything started changing. And how do I know that? Because natural man is lost man. Natural man are those that are still in Adam. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Amen? You can say, read the Bible. Okay, I read it. It's just another book. I don't get it anyway. Why? Well, it's foolishness to him. The natural man, let me read it. The natural man, it says, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Why? Why can't the natural man, people just, oh my gosh, I want to be saved. Why? It's foolishness. Jesus dying on the cross is foolishness. Why? The spirit of the mind that happened at the fall is now vacant in the old man. It's completely gone. See, what happened after the fall? Oh, the corruption, all the death, the things that occur. And men started growing worse and worse and worse. Right before the flood, and God warned Noah. And why did God say, I'm going to have to destroy everything? Listen, Genesis 6:5. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. And every intent of the thoughts of his heart, the thoughts of his mind, only evil continually, 24/7, all day long. Oh, that whole pre-flood generation, man, their minds were so vacant of the spirit, if you will, that it was evil all day long. That is a direct result of the fall. That is a mind that is governed not by God. It is a mind that is not governed by the spirit of the mind. It's a mind that is completely carnal and is the old man and is simply acted upon by the flesh. It says in Romans 8:5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh, those that are in Adam, the old man, it says this, they set their minds, their thoughts, their values. They set their minds on things of the flesh. In other words, whatever old man, those in Adam think, that's the way they think. They can't think any other way. But those, it says, who think the things that are according to the Spirit, you know, they have that Spirit, their mind is renewed. Now, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because the carnal mind from those who are in Adam, that old man, the carnal mind is enmity with God. The word enmity means deep, rooted hatred, if you will. So the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God. Now listen carefully. Nor can it be. So the mind of the lost, there's something missing in the old man. When we were operating before we were born again, there was something missing. The lost cannot submit themselves to God because their mind is carnal. They don't know it's carnal. I didn't know it was carnal, but I was literally an enemy of God, like it says. The reason? They don't have the spirit of the mind. Before you came to Christ, someone could come up and talk to you about Confucius or Buddha or, I don't know, biting and chewing on trees and hugging trees. I don't know, whatever that means. You know, that wouldn't offend you at all. Talk to you about extraterrestrials and that wouldn't offend you, UFOs or whatever that means. But if they talk to you about Jesus, something immediately changes in them. Why? It's because of the enmity in their fallen mind. Does that make sense?
Well, unfortunately, that is all of our time for today, but please don't miss the conclusion to this message, which you can hear on tomorrow's broadcast. Amen? Thanks so much for listening to the program this week. We appreciate you so much. My name is Brian Whitaker, and for Pastor Bill, God bless, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.